and welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley, and today we have Robert, who is the host of the Ghostly Paranormal podcast out of Northern Oklahoma. He is new at podcasting, but he is not new in the paranormal field. He is a paranormal investigator, and he has a really tremendous podcast, and I think he's going to do very well. If you have a chance, please go to his podcast. All the links will be at the bottom of this episode. And before we get into his interview, Robert is my first guest of season 3. Here is Robert's trailer for his podcast, Ghostly Paranormal. You must check out.
Are you interested in all things paranormal? Ghosts, EVPs, cryptozoology, and the history behind the legends we all love, but you don't have an hour out of your day to listen to another podcast? Well, then you should listen to Ghostly Paranormal, where we talk about all of those subjects and condense it down into 15 minutes or less. Check out Ghostly Paranormal.
Okay, welcome to the show, Robert. Excited to have you. You're the host of the Ghostly Paranormal podcast.
That is correct. I appreciate you having me, Al.
And you are from Oklahoma.
I am. I am from Mays County, Oklahoma, a tiny little nothing county.
I've had other podcasters on here before from Oklahoma and some other guests. It looks like your area is pretty active on paranormal.
It is. I tell you what. So back in... I'm 30 now. Back in my early 20s, I was an investigator with my buddy. And man, I would say about 70% of the calls we went on, we found stuff. It was, especially the area I'm in, it's a lot of wooded stuff. Most of it's native spirits, apparently, because there's a lot of, like, the Cherokee tribe was around here a lot. But there's a lot of neat stuff around here.
And a lot of my podcasts seem to always relate somehow to the Native American Indian, especially in the woods.
Yeah, well, actually, funny enough, so my dad, his house is just absolutely out in the middle of nowhere. And supposedly, I don't know, we don't have any proof of this, just a legend. It's built near or around an Indian burial ground. But when I was little, me and my brother, we would see people, you know, walking around at night, you know, and they just disappear out to the woods. And I haven't seen them so much the older I've got. For whatever reason, when you're younger, it seems like the paranormal is more attracted to younger people.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, when you build anything on top of a burial ground, whether it be parking garage or anything, public building, it seems like you always have a lot of paranormal activity in that area or that building.
Yeah, absolutely. And I never felt threatened at my dad's or anything. So I don't know that it was built directly on it. I feel like if they had built the house directly on it, it might have got some negative stuff going on. But I think nearby, because my dad's got several hundred acres just out in the middle of nowhere. And when I was little, we found a little cave with some paintings in it and stuff. So I like to think that we're at least near some Indian graves and stuff, because we've just found some pretty neat stuff, arrowheads and stuff out there. And because I've never felt threatened or anything out there. My grandma used to say when she lived out there that she would see like a big white wolf like out in the field, which is, you know, there's not any natural wolves in Oklahoma. There's coyotes and stuff, but those are substantially smaller.
If you watch Skinwalker Ranch or have seen that, you'll see that there's, you know, references to the Indian and how they take the ground earth, you know, very serious, you know, and disturbing it in any way, like digging or anything.
Absolutely. And that and another thing, and I don't know if you ever heard of it, you probably have, is like the Native American shapeshifters, like the Skeelies. Mm-hmm. So I'm from a little town called Locust Grove, and unfortunately our kind of claim to fame was in the 70s there was the Girl Scout murders. And the supernatural side of that is they say it was a Native American Skeely shapeshifter, because apparently there was a big owl around there that apparently killed those girls, because they arrested another guy. That's the legend. Yeah, unfortunately, that's about all Locust Grove's known for is murders.
What got you interested into the paranormal in the first place?
Well, so when I was little, like I said, my dad's house was just out in the middle of nowhere and apparently near the Indian burial grounds. I remember the first paranormal experience I ever had was when I was around 4 and looking out my window at night. I used to see a guy just walking by and he'd disappear into the wood line, and he kind of looked like he was wearing like a raincoat or something. I don't know. And I told my brother about it, and he said he saw him too. And to this day, my brother still says he sees them. So I don't know, maybe I wasn't crazy. And then like our toys and stuff when we were little would just kind of randomly come on and stuff. And we'd take the batteries out and they'd come on again. But my brother said he used to see a little Native American girl there. So I've always kind of wondered if she was playing with them or something. And then not really a whole lot happened to me until I was about 12. And then something yanked me out of the bed one night. This was a different house at this time, but my TV would just randomly come on and come off. And then a couple more years went by and nothing really happened. And I was about 16 or 17. And I'm sure you've heard of crybaby bridges because of just about every county, every state's got a crybaby bridge.
I listened to your episode on that one.
Yeah, yeah. So me and my buddies went out there and there was some big grunting, growling thing after we'd been out there a while. And we all ran to the car terrified and came out there the next day and something had snapped a tree in half. And my buddy had lost his hat while we were running away and it had hung it up there. And of course, I don't know if that was paranormal or not. I flip-flop back on that a lot because there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings around where I'm from too. And whatever it had to be something really strong or out of this world to snap that tree in half. Cause I mean, it wasn't the biggest tree in the world, but it was like the size of like your average fire log, you know, it'd be hard for a human to snap it in half. Cause it was a fresh, alive tree.
That episode reminded me of one I did investigation on around 1998. It was called the Hogback Bridge. It was in Hermitage, Pennsylvania.
I love that. I listened to you talk about that episode. I can't find your documentary online anywhere, but I did listen to that. And that was so cool. That episode was so
I'm still trying to figure out how to present that online because I had put that on video cassette and DVD. I mean, doing that investigation, I mean, you talk about, you know, what you see and hear or pick up on your EVPs, like the best parts was outside the camera, you know? So in other words, you know, I was showing that Hogback Bridge and the legend of the girl under the bridge, it comes up on the bridge, but it was the experiences that I felt after, you know, after it was all done that wasn't on the video, like me being pushed from behind and there's nobody on that bridge. You know, and I'm the only one there because my crew had already went up the hill. So I'm the only one there, you know, so I'm like, okay, you know, is my mind playing tricks on me? Or because nothing was really happening while I'm doing the filming.
A lot of this stuff when I was still, because I did investigations for about 2 years and then life kind of got in the way, college, everything. But a lot of stuff we did that happened to me was off camera and it sucked because it's just people taking you at your word. Because I remember we were doing a house one time and I had my recorder. I was asking questions and then down the hall, the door opens up and I see someone poke their head out and look at me and then just like that quick shut the door and stuff. And I didn't really think anything of it because I thought, you know, maybe my buddy was in the other room. And then the next day he's like, no, I wasn't in that house at all. So I have no idea what that was. And of course I didn't have a camera roll in there. And then I kept, you know, people tugging on my ears and stuff like that. I mean, I caught a lot of cool EVPs and stuff. And EVPs are cool, but you don't really ever catch, you can't catch a feeling, you know, like you were saying, you can't.
Well, you can't catch, you know, being pushed. You can't catch a cold breeze being run through you. I mean, a lot of stuff that you just can't explain or people just don't believe, you know, because they want to see evidence.
Absolutely. And I believe it was in your seance episode towards the end, you were talking about when you went to the house mm-hmm. where the door shut and someone was banging on the floor like with a sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a super cool story. And I believe you, but a lot of people won't believe you because, you know.
Well, you know, I have family members that actually think I'm just totally crazy, you know. So, I mean, and it's okay, you know, because until it happens to you, it's almost anything in life. Until it happens to you or your family member, it just can't happen to you, you know. So it's, you don't believe in ghosts or spirits or anything like that.
It's been about a month since I listened to your first episode. It was your first or second episode when someone, I think, had emailed you about how, you know, ghosts can't be the spirits of humans because everything goes to heaven. And that was actually, so when we had set up that booth in my tiny town, that was a huge argument. A whole bunch of older folks got in there and just argued with us that what we were doing was evil and everything because it has to be demons. It all has to be demons because everything goes to heaven. And I was raised super Christian, super conservative and everything, but I don't know, I just don't believe that. I feel like people like stay with you. And I know one episode you were talking to an investigator about spirits and residual haunts and stuff. And I think residual haunts are just something big happened there and that energy just stays there. And eventually it will dissipate over time, but it might take a long time, you know, a rape or murder or something something crazy happened there or something repetitive that was walking, you know, that stays there. But I just can't think that every intelligent haunt is a demon.
Well, they're not, you know, and it's very rare they even come across a demonic force, you know, like that house I went into. Yeah, that was definitely a demonic force, you know, and I did exit as quick as I could because I wasn't experienced in doing exorcisms or anything like that, you know, because there's a thin line. If you cross that line in a demonic side, it's hard to come back from that. So in other words, you know, if you go to a place where there's spirits are already there and you're trying to contact them, that's one thing. But if you're dealing in matters such like the Ouija board, or you're trying to pull out something that's not there to begin with, and you're pulling it out from the dead, you're in deep, deep shit. I don't know how else to put it, you know, because he had warned me, you know, if you have a Ouija board in your home, get rid of it. I don't pull them out unless I know that there's been stories of them being there.
No, and I've never, that I am aware of, dealt with anything demonic. I will say one, have you done any reading about like shadow people and stuff?
Yes.
I will. I know for, we did an investigation and there was like a trailer. And then there was a field where a house used to stand. And we actually found the gravestone of a woman. I believe she died in 1920. I don't remember. This was about 10 years ago. Have you heard of the Hat Man?
For some reason, it rings a bell. It might have been a few years ago.
He's a pretty popular shadow person, I guess. A lot of people see him. There's actually a podcast called Paranormal Road, and they do an awesome episode on it. After that investigation, every night for about a year and a half, I would see, like, he was probably 7 foot tall, just a big shadow person standing in my doorway, like, wearing, like, a fedora, it looked like. And, like, sometimes he'd be standing at the end of my bed. And it's the thing with the shadow people, you can't, you're, like, so freaked out, you're too scared to move and stuff. And, like, one theory is they're, like, you know, dimensional travelers, or maybe they're kind of like succubus and they feed off that energy and that fear. But I don't know, he kind of went, I haven't seen him since I was about 22, but
I've dealt with spirits that existed, and I dealt with, you know, a ghost. Question was brought to me by another paranormal investigator. He was a guest of a few episodes back, and he asked me if I ever dealt with shadow people, and I said no. He was really surprised with all the years I have into this that I know other people that have, but I haven't.
Yeah, they're surprisingly common. I don't, a lot of people I know that I, well, within the paranormal realm, people that believe in stuff have seen them. I know my buddy that I used to investigate with, he said he saw him for a couple months after I did that investigation too. So I've just been really curious about shadow people, whether it's like a demonic thing or whether it is like the time travelers or interdimensional travelers and stuff. You get some really deep stuff there of the shadow people. I do feel like since my son was born about a year ago, I feel like my grandma, she passed away a couple of years ago, has been here a lot. She loved birds so much. And since my son's been born, she loved bluebirds. I see just, and I never see bluebirds. I see a bluebird about once a week. And he was born with a genetic defect, and he's in the hospital for about a month and a half getting surgeries and stuff. And I was just scared the whole time. And I just always see bluebirds. And my son, he always just kind of, and it might just be a baby thing, but he always kind of looks over my shoulder and smiles. And I just feel like she's with me, which is another thing. You go to heaven, but I feel like you can still contact your loved ones. And maybe ghosts, and a lot of ghosts, because I believe you've talked to some investigators that think when you clear a spirit, you kill them. I don't think that.
I don't. Well, it's my first episode with a where I had a guest on. You know, I was expecting that answer. I was assuming that when you die, you go to heaven or hell. You know,
yeah,
never thought about being a paranormal investigator that your whole team are atheists and you don't believe in heaven or hell. So like you were saying, you know, you're not transferring their spirit on, you're killing it, you know, and that really kind of startled me, you know.
And to each their own, I can't wrap my brain around that.
Maybe a quarter of the people I've interviewed believe the same way, you know. So I guess it's all on your own, you know, it's his side, and he has his views and, you know, that side of the paranormal investigating, you know. So like I was telling him, I'm not there to move the spirit on anyway, unless they want moved on. I believe that you do move on. And I believe there's people that have moved on and you can still contact them. You know, that's just my belief.
And I have that similar belief. I kind of look at maybe Earth as kind of like as purgatory, maybe, you know, or they just maybe they don't know they're dead yet. A lot of people. No, and that's a big thing for me is I don't like anyone calling themselves an expert in anything in this field because nobody really knows. Nobody has any idea what they're talking about. It's all just good guesses.
Right. But I was listening to your one story. I really loved it. Was the little people, the short people?
Yeah, the little people. So, and I guess maybe a lot of people haven't really heard of them. It's pretty big deal here in Oklahoma. But yeah, so when I was little, my grandma always just told me, you know, like you hear like rattling pans and stuff at night. That's just the little people going through your stuff. And so when I was in high school, I had a buddy. He was Cherokee, and his whole family really believed in the little people, but they were absolutely terrified of them. You don't talk about the little people. You don't think about the little people. You're walking alone in the woods and you hear someone say your name, don't reply. That's the little people. Because if you reply, bad luck's going to follow and you're probably going to end up dead. And then I, you know, branched out more into it. And like the Mohegan tribe, they thought they could be ornery, but they were good luck, kind of. They help them out. They help them, you know, gather food, learn to grow stuff, help them with medicines and stuff. And the little people are super interesting. And then there was they found a mummy, and I think it was I think it was in the 30s up in Wyoming. When they x-rayed it, they found it to be the skeleton of a malformed Native American child. I'm not a big believer in the little people. It's interesting, and it's terrifying if you believe the Cherokee version.
I've seen that where the Cherokees believe it's a ghost or a witch.
Oh, the Skeelys. Yeah, I was talking about that earlier because they were talking about little people being like kind of like Skeelys, which is like Skeelys is like a woods witch and like the shapeshifters and stuff and not good business. You don't want to mess with those.
Yeah, I like that story where the guy goes into the tree, a hollow tree, and he's in there for 3 minutes, but it's been like 3 years when he comes back out.
That is a story that was actually told to me by my buddy and his family, and they were dead serious about that. That they said that really happened to his great uncle, and I don't know if it really did or not. It's a pretty big tall tale, but it scared the crap out of me, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The little people are something else.
Of course, I imagine if you're a midget, you might take.
Oh no! And I was worried about that when I released it because I was like, oh, I'm going to offend some people because they won't know what I'm talking about.
Right. You know, I knew where you were coming from.
Luckily, no one got mad at me yet. So, but.
Oh, I was just going to, you know, tell you, you know, stick with it. You know, because I started out, you know, like I said, I didn't get into it either for the money or just basically share my stories and gather other people's stories and meet other people. And I'll tell you, and that's, I'm going on 3 years now. Man, I've just been blessed with all the people that I've contacted from TV producers to Netflix to podcasters. I mean, I did a few on the UFOs and had people contact me from the State Department that were pilots that spotted these things. I mean, every guest, including yourself, has been awesome. You know, that's what I like the best about it. You know, is you could contact other people, you get other people's stories, you hear other stories, you know, listen to other podcasts you didn't know was out there. Yeah, I just say stick with it. Tell everybody's just getting into it to stick with it. You know, it'll get better as you get more podcasts under your belt, you know.
Yeah, and absolutely. And one of your episodes I was listening to, believe the podcast is Weird on the Rocks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she was talking about, you know, it might not seem like big numbers, but imagine that many people in a room and you're having to talk to all of them. Because my numbers are going up every episode, and I'm happy with it. Not like crazy. Like my first episode, I had like 7 listeners. And then that last one I put out over Shady Grove, 14. And I just put out an episode today. So we'll see where that goes. But I've been getting like 2 or 3 listeners every episode. So I'm happy with that.
You know, if you can help anybody out in any way or just give them support that, you know, because people don't believe you that there's a spirit or you've seen Bigfoot or you've seen the UFO or. God alone, you know, being abducted by a UFO. You know, I'm not here to say anybody's story is untrue, you know, or say that they are. I'm just going by their word, what they experience. And if they have somebody can listen to them, that's not going to call them a crackpot, you know, then I'm all for it.
Absolutely. And the episode I just put out is over Zozo the Ouija demon. And that story I expected to find a lot on Zozo, but there's really not a lot. About 2009, and then the rest of it's just kind of...
I don't think I listened to that one yet.
I just put it out about about an hour ago, right before.
Oh,
I
got okay.
On. Yeah, there's not a whole lot on Zozo, and I'm hoping people don't get too mad at me on that, because I kind of sounds like I'm saying he doesn't exist, and I'm not saying that because I know people have said they've contacted him, but we just couldn't really find a whole lot on him.
Right, I really don't know too much about that either, about Zozo.
In all honesty, kind of scared to do the episode because you hear there's stories like you even say his name, you're going to summon him and stuff. But really, it goes back to 2009. A guy named Darren Evans posted a story on an internet blog, and it kind of just spiraled.
I did one on a Ouija board and learned a lot from that one. Sometimes I have to apologize to some other podcast guests I have on because they may think I'm copying off of their podcast. You know, like you were saying earlier. You know, but yeah, there's so many podcasters out there now. When I started, there was like 250,000. So now there's close to over a million, but not all those people are going to stay with it, which a million is still a small number when you look at how many people's on YouTube. Or
I still try to look for new podcasts. I try to keep my rotation going while I'm at, because when I'm at work, I'm blessed and I can listen to stuff while I work. And then I'll listen to a new podcast I've never listened to before. And I'm like, oh, crap, if they ever listen to me, they're really going to think I just completely stole this episode.
I don't even think that anymore. Like, even when I did it, it's like I wasn't still on theirs. I just wanted to, because sometimes you can tell it in a different angle, you know. And also, did your audience hear that story? You know, maybe their audience did. Or maybe I might have some of their audience. Or when I'm on their show or they're on mine, then we share audiences, you know. So, and that's cool, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you're talking about Word on the Rocks, you know, that was Katie Brown, I believe her name is, and she was awesome because we started out about the same time and we're both still going, and haven't talked to her recently, but when she said the numbers weren't that great, well, I believe she's hitting over 25,000 now. I can't remember, but I know it's up there after starting off with nothing, you know. So, and it took me a few months to decide, well, am I going to keep doing this? Or that's, well, you know, why not? You know, I'm having fun doing it, and I like picking different stories. And then you find out, you know, there is UFOs and paranormal, or is Bigfoot or shadow people. I mean, how are they all connected, you know?
Heard theories like that, like even with like the Mothman and Bigfoot. Like one theory I heard with like the Bigfoot is it's alien shapeshifters that are... it's like the best they can come to replicating a human. And the reason no one ever sees them or finds them or anything is they're just watching us and they can go back to their ships and stuff. And same thing with Mothman. It was like a conspiracy. Then the Men in Black showed up and then those were aliens. And it was just kind of a test and they were trying different stuff out. The UFO stuff terrifies me.
And I never got into UFOs until 1994. A friend of mine was a police officer, and he was one of the ones that was chasing this UFO from Ohio into Pennsylvania. And there was over 10 law enforcement branches of state patrol, the sheriffs, the county police, city police, all chasing this UFO. And you can catch it on YouTube, UFOs over Trumbull County. And I did, a three-part series on that. It's interesting when you have 15 or 16 different law enforcement officers telling you what they're seeing. And then the very next day, they all put in a report that it was a weather balloon, you know, and after you're talking to the State Department. So, you know, when I get these calls from people who they don't want to release their name, they don't want to be on the podcast. And I think that they are out there. And I think that the government knows about it. And it is a huge, huge cover up.
It hurts the brain a little bit.
You know, and to pass it off that didn't happen.
Because I haven't had a ton of, well, maybe just one, I guess, a UFO experience when I was, I don't know, about 8. There was a big green light that was like, it was just kind of floating in the sky. And then it just kind of took off, like nothing natural, not like anything, like just arcing across the sky. It was just over the field, like way up in the sky. It just kind of sat there, and I was with my brother and my sister and my stepmom, and we all saw it, and it just, whew, just took off.
You know, what really got me was talking to my friend that was on the Liberty Police Department, which is close to Youngstown, Ohio here. You know, you listen to him tell his story, you know, how they all had this thing surrounded, If you can imagine, you have almost 15, 20 police officers surrounding this thing in a big field by a woods in Pennsylvania, where it's just hovering over. And he says he don't know what made him do it, but they all decided to get into their trunks and get out their riot gear and their heavy guns and this and that. And he's, this thing shined a light on all of them, you know, and you're frozen in your tracks. You can't move. You know, you can think, you know what you want to do, but your body's not responding to what your mind's telling you to do. So it had complete control, every single one of them. And then it just takes off, you know, and then the government comes and tells you that it didn't happen. Life after death, you know, there's a lot to cover.
Yeah. And I'm interested in most. I will say that for whatever reason, the UFOs, they've always freaked me out. Like ghost demons and stuff, I find super interesting. But the idea that there's some super hyper race that can just pick you up when you're asleep and take you a light year away, like, terrifies me.
For some reason, that doesn't terrify me. But what does is the demons, you know, the dark side. That, for some reason, that just scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, well, that and that is scary, but I don't know what it is about the aliens. I just
my next episode is going to be on The Exorcist, the true story.
Yeah, the Ronald Doe, and I actually just I referenced that a little bit in my Zozo episode because they claim that Zozo had a part in that. Some people, there's not really any evidence to it. They just kind of tie it in because he was using a Ouija board.
I know I'm going to have some haters out there because, you know, now you're dealing with the dark side, you know, and you're not honoring God or whatever. And I get that a lot. Robert, where can people contact you at it for your podcast and to get a hold of you for ghost stories or anything?
Well, if anyone wants to contact me, get a hold of me at ghostlypara@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on my Twitter. And actually, this summer, me and my old buddy that I used to investigate with, we're going to do an investigation. And if anybody in Northeast Oklahoma or West Arkansas or Southern Missouri has any good suggestions of a spot where we should check out, I would love to get one in either ghostlypara@gmail.com or on Twitter.
I'll have the links below this show. And Robert, it was an honor having you on my show today.
It was a great honor, Al. I really, really, really appreciate it. I'm a big fan.
All right, thank you. Make sure you come back in 2 weeks when we will be digging into The Exorcist before the movie, what the movie was actually based off of. I'm your host, Al Cooley, Ghosts in a Valley Podcast.